Leaders from the U.S., Japan, India, and Australia are meeting today in Delaware for what is officially known as the Quadrilateral Security Dialogue, also known as the Quad, a strategic partnership among the countries. Ahead of this summit, the man running Japan's Okinawa Islands, where the U.S. bases many of its troops, came to lobby Washington on a long-running issue, sexual assaults by American servicemen. Reporter Monica Miller sat down with him, and a warning, some listeners may find the details in the story disturbing.
Governor Denny Tamaki usually has a packed itinerary on his trips to the U.S. Okinawa is home to roughly 70% of U.S. military bases on less than 1% of Japanese land. While geopolitics is on his agenda, it's not his top priority on this visit.
There have been a series of sexual assault incidents against women by U.S. military personnel. I have informed members of Congress regarding this and, at the same time, have made reports and requests to the State Department, as well as the Department of Defense, for a process to address this issue.
A Pentagon spokesman says the alleged behavior of these service members, quote, no way reflects the core values of the U.S. military. The State Department says they have been cooperating fully with Japanese authorities. But Tamaki thinks the existing protocol on criminal activity between the two countries is not functioning as intended. He's asking for transparency and accountability.
Regarding these two incidents, the Okinawa government was not formally notified by the relevant authorities. Instead, it came to light through the investigations and reporting of local media, which has been a deeply shocking situation for us.
The first incident in the last 12 months happened on Christmas Eve last year. U.S. Air Force serviceman Brennan Washington was accused of kidnapping and raping a 16-year-old girl. The 25-year-old American soldier pleaded not guilty and said he didn't know she was a minor. Since then, there have been two other unreported alleged sexual assault cases that came to light. The last one came to Tamaki's attention on September 5th, a week before he left for the U.S.
We must immediately take any necessary actions to protect the lives and human rights of our residents. However, if we are not provided with information, we cannot even protect our own people.
Back in Okinawa, locals over the summer staged protests. Japan's Nippon TV News covered a gathering in the prefecture's capital city with some people holding signs saying "Smash Military Alliance." To locals like Tamaki, these protests are too familiar. These recent cases have reminded Okinawans of a 1995 incident when three U.S. servicemen raped a 12-year-old girl. 2 years later, both countries came up with an agreement on how to report heinous incidents such as this.
In 1997, the Japanese and U.S. governments agreed to establish a reporting system. When an incident is detected, the U.S. military would notify the Japanese Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Ministry of Defense, and the Japanese government, who would promptly inform Okinawa Prefecture.
Sheila Smith is a Japanese politics expert from the Council on Foreign Relations. She says, like Tamaki, governors long before him have wanted a larger voice on implementing rules on issues that impact the local community, like crime, pollution, and the economy.
The bases are in their communities, right? There's a kind of wall of an American flag that prevents them from actually implementing some of the ordinances.
But she says that would require strong political will from both Washington and Tokyo. And that is what's lacking. For NPR News, I'm Monica Miller in New York.